Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Lori.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. I am your host, Evan Starnes. Really hope everybody has been staying cool this summer. Good Lord, it's been hot and not even that rainy. But it is July, and that also means that the Audio Trekkers hike is less than a month away on July 27th. And we've got a lot of volunteers and good number of hikers registered. So if you'd like to register, go to aftersight.org/hike and join the Audio Trekkers. Now, also, we do have some teams I did want to kind of remind everybody of. You can join a team for one of our podcasts, whether that be The Blind Chick, Blind Level Tech, Blind Sight, just as kind of like a very friendly competition for our hikes. So because I'm the host of Blind Level Tech, I can say without a doubt, join Blind Level Tech. Anyway, this month's Volunteer of the Month has been with us since about 2015. So she's almost on her 10-year mark. And that is Lori Hendrickson, the reader of the Grand Junction Sentinel. Hey, Lori, and thank you for joining me under the spotlight today.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this episode, I always like to jump in with some fun getting to know you questions. But what is your favorite outdoor activity to do around this time?
Well, I love hiking and biking. Those are probably my two favorite things to do. Winter, I love to snowshoe, but this time of year, hiking and biking.
Have you ever, how about skiing?
Oh, yes. I used to ski, but my old bones don't really allow for that anymore.
Not a summer activity, but you mentioned snowshoeing, so
yes.
I was like, yeah, I figured I'd throw that
in.
Yeah,
I used to ski for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. And next up, what is your favorite form of audio to listen to? It could be anything from audiobooks to podcasts or something else.
Well, I am just slightly addicted to Audible, and I am always listening to a book. As a matter of fact, I was listening to a book as I drove down here today. So I still love to actually pick up a book and read it, but when I'm gardening or driving or whatever, I love to listen to Audible.
Well, and there's just something about having a narrator actually like characterize the book. And
absolutely.
There's a value to it. May I ask what your most favorite book is? I'm putting you on the spot for the fun of it.
Yes. So I'm trying. Isn't this terrible? I'm trying to remember the name of it.
No, that's good.
It's one I finished a few weeks ago. And Abraham Varghese is the author, and it's his newest one. And I cannot think of the name of it. So I'm so sorry. But it was fabulous. And he actually read the book himself. So it was cool to have the author reading it.
It always is cool to have the author narrate their own book. I agree.
Well, and since it happened in India, there are so many words that when I would come upon them, I'm sure I wouldn't be sure how to pronounce them. So it was really nice to have him doing it and know that it was all correct.
Absolutely. Well, since you've been with AfterSight a number of years, I'd like to first start by talking about how you actually got started in as a volunteer in your community.
Well, I retired from being a teacher, and for the first 3 years after I retired, I worked at Starbucks. But then that got to be a little much, so I left there, and then I was looking for some things to do. And I live in Longmont, and my paper there has a page, I believe it's every Thursday, that just is a whole page of volunteer opportunities. And so I've been looking through that to see one that I felt like would be a good fit. And I saw, of course, back then it was Audio Information Network of Colorado, and that they were looking for people to read newspapers. And having been an elementary school teacher my whole career, I read to people every day of my life, and I really enjoyed that, and I missed it. So I thought, this might be a way to get back into that.
Absolutely. What was it like when you first got involved with AfterSight?
Well, I was very nervous because, you know, you had to come in for an audition. And I really wasn't nervous when I arrived because I thought, I do this all the time. Oh, this will be so easy. But Kat, who was then the volunteer coordinator, gave me these two stories to read. And oh, my goodness. The first one involved a lot of very scientific information with lots of scientific words and numbers, and that was quite challenging. And the second one involved foreign policy, something that was going on. Russia was involved in lots of Russian place names and surnames. And so, yeah, it was very, very challenging. So I got more nervous as I went along. But apparently I did all right because she told me I passed and I could become a volunteer.
That's awesome. Did they give you a word list too? Or did she give you a word list?
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember if she did or not. I just remember those two articles. But
sounds about right. I'm always curious because I started here in 2021, and we've refined and changed our audition process over the years to cut down on – I don't know if we could cut down on nerves anymore per se. I mean, we can provide words of encouragement, but really cut down on the girth and the length of this audition because it took over, you know, some folks over like 10 minutes to complete.
Oh, yeah.
And as somebody, you know, if you're trying to go through and audit all of these, it's going to take you a good time to listen through each and every one.
Of course.
Absolutely. Now, you started and have continued to read, I would assume, the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel.
That is correct.
Absolutely. And you started here in studio.
Yes, I did.
So what was the very first, how long would you say it took you to kind of get over that first day mic fright, as I've started to call it?
Oh, it took more than one day, that's for sure. I would say after 3 months, I felt really confident, not only with just the whole idea of broadcasting, but using the equipment properly and things like that.
Absolutely. And was there like a particularly important lesson or something that stood out to you that you learned from volunteering with us?
Well,
it's a loaded question.
Nothing that I'd say there's one thing that I would say, but just to put yourself out there and don't be afraid. I remember coming upon some words that town names that I wasn't sure how to pronounce. And I remember Kat saying, as long as you say them with conviction and you say them the same way every time, then you're golden because, you know, everybody's just doing the best they can and don't worry about it. And that really helped me not to be quite so nervous.
Absolutely. Well, and especially if you're reading papers and they're, you know, especially if they're talking about like a large event or something happening in an oddly named, I don't know how to word it, but like an oddly named part of the state.
Yes.
And you second guess yourself. And it's, I think the hardest part from what I've heard is like when you're actually like live reading,
mm-hmm.
and you stumble upon a word and you're like, what? Huh?
Yes.
And you pause for
you
for
do,
minute.
Yes. You can't help it because your mind is just going a million miles an hour about how to attack that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you like to do you cold read pretty much everything, like, or do you like to kind of preview what you're gonna read ahead of time?
Well, in the first year or so, I really liked to cold read. And I didn't cold read the whole article, but I would certainly go through the first maybe three paragraphs because usually any of those names or place names that are going to be difficult show up in those first few paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I pre-read for a long time. But then you get complacent, I guess you would say. You just get more comfortable. And especially during COVID, it took me so long just to do everything I needed to do for the recording that I really didn't have time to not cold read anymore. So I started just cold reading, and that's what I do now.
Absolutely. Now, this is a bit of a loaded question, and it's okay if you don't have one, but was there a particular article over the many, many editions of the Grand Junction Sentinel? Was there just like one article that stood out to you in any particular way, whether it made you laugh or just kind of struck a nerve or whatever it might be?
I can't honestly say there was a certain article, but what I can say is I so enjoy reading the Grand Junction Sentinel because people who live on the Front Range don't always realize how the Western Slope is a whole different world over there. And I really enjoy reading what's important to them, you know, gas and oil and wild horses and just so many things that really, you live here in Boulder on the Front Range, don't cross your mind all the time. And so I really appreciate reading what's important to them over there. And it gives me a sense of we live in a diverse state. And it's great to know what's going on over there versus what's going on over here.
Well, in Grand Junction, at least from our perspective, is on the other side of Colorado. It's almost its own little state
in and of itself. It is. It's very different from the Front Range. Yes.
Well, that's like why I like in your particular reading, and there's only a few volunteers that do this. And as we kind of start to standardize our volunteer, the formats for what people read.
Yes.
I hope we can include this, but I always like that you included the weather at the end of your recording, and I wish more people would do that.
Oh, well, that's good to know, because that is one thing that is there wasn't so much standardization, and it was just read everything on the front page, local things after that, and then fill in with what you think is best. And I just feel like weather is important in people's lives, and so I always try to end with that. Plus, it gives me a little wiggle room that if I'm running short on time, I can just do today's weather. But if I have a few extra minutes, I can throw in the forecast and how much rain and, you know,
Absolutely. Things
like that.
Well, it's always a consistent way to end your show. You know, you're not trailing
right off
on an article or, you know, and so, some people have to do that. You know, if you're in the middle of an article and you reach that mark, you just kind of have to stop at
a good point
because otherwise you're totally going to go over time for sure.
Right.
Absolutely. Now, Lori, you've been an at-home reader since COVID, and this is honestly one of my favorite things to talk about here on Volunteer Spotlight. But to the best of your abilities, can you describe your recording setup, like even down to the space? Because even like the room that you record in and what's around you can affect how it sounds.
Well, of course, when COVID hit and it was like, well, you can't go in to record anymore. And they, you know, suggested that maybe you could set up a recording studio in your home and do it. And I am not a techie person at all, a kindergarten teacher, you know, not gifted in that area. But I had a son-in-law who he's a sound guy, and he was like, I've got the perfect microphone and I can help you get it set up. So he came over, and so we have an office in our house and roll top desk where our computer and everything is. And so he set me up there, and I have no idea what kind of a mic it is, but looks fancy.
Sounds good.
I can say that. And it was a big challenge just figuring out how to just use the software to edit. Because in the beginning, I went through and edited everything. And yeah, it took a really long time. But it became easier. I have to admit, there were some tears the first few months because I just didn't really know what I was doing. And if I ran into a problem, sweet Alex had to help me through a lot of things. And she was always so helpful and did not make fun of my gaffes. So she got me through it. And then it became just easier. And it was funny. I kept thinking, oh, I can't wait until we can go back in the studio. And then that day came, and I'd gotten so comfortable just doing it in my pajamas at home that I thought, oh, I think I'm going to just keep doing it from home rather than drive to Boulder. So
right. It still sounds really good. Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because it's not – I don't have any soundproofing. It's just our office, and that's it.
And you don't always need soundproofing. In your case, like, depending on the size, like, if you're recording in a large office with really high ceilings, like, without a doubt, you're going to get some echo and people are going to hear it.
Yeah, this is a small room, so it must work.
It totally does. Absolutely. Well, we've now come to the time where you have the opportunity to ask any questions to me, Evan Starnes, or the entirety of AfterSight.
Oh, goodness. I don't know how to form this in a question, but
that's okay.
I always am interested in hearing feedback from people who listen to my recording, because I'm always thinking, I wonder if I'm touching on the things that they're really interested in, or if I'm going too fast or too slow. And so I've always thought it would be so great if we could just get feedback from our listeners. And I don't know that that's possible, but it would sure make me feel more confident if I knew that for the most – I mean, I know you're not ever going to make everyone happy, but it would make me feel better if I thought for the most part I was covering the things that people really want to hear about.
Absolutely. Well, and that the answer to this question is not a short one. It's quite a loaded one. We're actually kind of trying to tackle that in a number of ways here. As far as getting feedback from our listeners, we are actually and have been sending out listener surveys as of late. Just kind of telling, you know, like, what do you like to listen to and how do you like to listen to our services? Because we have all those different, you know, we have the phone,
right,
the speakers, the receiver, all that good stuff. So we've been trying to actually gather, you know, some of that listener data as far as, you know, where people are, what they like to listen to, for how long do they listen, kind of all that. And, of course, we are also trying to really crack down on everybody's on volunteers, not only, like, what they read, but also the duration, because we've realized that some shows might not necessarily fit in a 25-minute slot, or maybe some shows are too large for a 55-minute – or too small for a 55-minute slot. So we've been trying to figure, you know, the duration out and what people read, because what we've realized is that, you know, some folks are, you know, they might be reading, you know, something local, but then they might also stumble across something that somebody else already read because it was national. And so we're just kind of trying to crack down on that to keep our programming not only valuable but diverse.
Mm.
And as far as personal feedback regarding the Grand Junction Sentinel, I'd always heard good things about it. I've never heard anything about anybody's particular reading of the Grand Junction Sentinel, but I've always heard, you know, from the listeners that we have up there, I've always heard good things about it, and
that's
it's always
cool.
Been.
I've also thought it would be fun if the four other people who read it and I could get together for coffee and just talk about, well, what do you read? Do you read the weather? Do you read the letters to the editor? And I think it would be really interesting to hear what they read as opposed to what I do.
That's interesting. And I almost wonder if we could, like, implement that at one of our hot cocoa bars. There's just – you were actually at the most recent hot chocolate or hot cocoa event. I guess since we're on that road here, how did you like – or I don't want to say how'd you like, but what were your thoughts on the event? I don't want to sway you one way or the other.
Oh, it was great. That was the first time I'd been back in studio for a long time. And it was great to just, you know, there were new staff members that I got to meet and ones that had been here before that I got to reacquaint myself with, and new things that had been installed, and the whole place looked very different. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it's always fascinating to me to meet other people who volunteer and do this and their reasoning for why they do it.
Absolutely. And that's why we've got this podcast. The point that I want to make, and if I haven't said this on the show, well, I'll say it now, that volunteers are not just talking heads in front of a microphone. They are people with lives, with histories and experiences and skill sets and all sorts of other things. And, you know, it's a good chance to, you know, we're trying to find ways to shout out the volunteers. But I really like your idea of having like a publication group meetup kind of.
I think it would be really fun.
And it really could be. And I'm because what I was originally thinking in the first place is this something we could implement at one of our large events? But my Lord, there were so many people there.
It was very crowded. Yes, it was, which is a good thing.
It definitely was a good thing, but it was hard to navigate.
Well, and I have no idea where those other four people live, whether they're even on the Front Range or, you know, I know people that have heard about people who record from very far away. So I have no idea whether getting together physically would even be an option. But
I wish it was. I don't know if it would be. I guess for certain papers, yeah. But since, yeah, we've got volunteers not only nationally but internationally.
Right.
You know, it might be one of those things we have to do virtually.
I was going to say, we can always do Zoom because we all learned how to do that.
We all know how to use Zoom. Indeed. Well, Lori, is there anything you'd like our audience to walk away with before we wrap up this episode?
Well, I guess I would just say if it is within your power to volunteer in any way that you feel comfortable, I would encourage you to do it because it certainly brings a lot of enjoyment to my life and makes me just feel like I'm giving back to my community. And so I'm a big volunteer advocate.
That is awesome to hear. I love hearing that. Indeed. Well, Lori, thank you so much for joining me under the spotlight today. Definitely appreciate it.
You are most welcome. I'm
Absolutely.
Honored to be asked.
Absolutely. And thank you all so much for listening and joining us for another episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. I've been your host, Devin Starnes, and I will hopefully see you guys on the hike. Otherwise, I will see you all next month.